our series called The Untouchables. If you're here for the very first time, you're joining us towards the tail end of this series, I pray that it will have a greater impact on your life today. You will leave this place changed by the grace of God. Would you believe that this morning? The story I'm going to share with you, I've been going through the Bible, pulling out different encounters between Jesus and various other characters in the Bible. Characters that we would probably put in the basket of the untouchables, the outcasts, the one that we would want to push aside and not really mingle with. But yet again, Jesus was drawn to those people. Jesus was drawn to the untouchables, to the outcasts. He was drawn for one reason. He was sent to seek and to save those who were lost. That's the reason why he was drawn to them like a magnet. And throughout this series, we've touched on many encounters where Jesus was drawn to the untouchables. And today's story, we're going to talk about the Samaritan woman who met Jesus at the well. And if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of John, chapter 4. And we're going to start reading from verse 3 onwards, probably about 26. And I'm going to go grab something real quick, and I'll be right back. I'm not going anywhere, just right here. Still here. Now I'm not planning on getting sick or anything. That was last week. Last week, you know, I didn't get sick, but I was sick. I've got a bucket, and you're wondering, why is he carrying a bucket to church? You also came into church this morning with a bucket. You came in with a bucket this morning. And in this book of John, when we talk about this encounter with the Samaritan woman, this outcast, this untouchable, Samaritan, back in those days, they were a different kind of people. The Samaritans only accepted the books of Moses. And they rejected all the writings of all the other prophets. The Samaritans, they were the type of people that dabbled with idolatry, which eventually, over a period of time, that became part of what they believed. That became part of their core beliefs and values. That was part of their culture. For that reason, there was a big separation between the Samaritans and the Jews. A Jew would avoid a Samaritan at any cost. In fact, they were never even in the same town. The Samaritans live in a part of the town called Samaria. That was part of Jerusalem, but on the other side, they were away from the mainstream of belief. Their culture was separated from the main Jewish culture. They worship on the mountain, whereas the Jews, they worship in the temple. Samaria itself was one part of Israel where it was set aside for the Jews who were not accepted, who were excommunicated by the Jewish community. They would find refuge in Samaria. Over a period of time, there was a lot of hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. So that's the background of the story of what we're about to read this morning. It's good that you know a little bit about the background so that you know the culture. You know the time period that we're reading about. It's not just Jesus meeting somebody at the well. Jesus planned that trip to go out there. As you can see throughout the encounters that we've covered throughout this series called The Untouchable, every one of these encounters was planned by Jesus. Nothing was done by mistake. It was not by an accident that Jesus met those people. He planned it. And this encounter here, it's a planned trip by Jesus. In verse 3 of chapter 4 of the book of John, it says, he, Jesus, left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. Jesus needed to go to Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied, tired from his journey, sat there by the well. It was the sixth hour. It was noonday and he was tired. A woman of Samaria came by to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Here's the context of what I gave to you a little bit earlier about the background. How is it a Jew like you is coming and asking a Samaritan like me for a drink? For the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given to you living water. Living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then will you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, who drank from this well himself, as well as his son and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give to him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, "You have said well, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. In that, you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place that one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Then he says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." What an amazing encounter with somebody. At the well, Jesus made a detour of this trip. And he said he needed to go there. Jesus needed to meet her. Jesus needed to meet her, just like Jesus needs to meet you. So you all came here this morning with a bucket. The bucket represents your expectation of what you want to receive from God this morning. We all came here, including me, with a sense of expectation. I came here expecting God to move in our midst. I expected God to come here to, number one, touch my life, to start with me, to change me. I came here with a bucket of expectation. You came here with a bucket of expectation too. Some of you will go home with a bucket full to capacity. You're going to go home and things are going to be slushing back and forth. You're going to go home, things dripping from your bucket. You're going to go home having an encounter with God. And you're going to go home full. Going to go home and say, "Wow, I have met Jesus. I have received what I came here for, and I'm going home, and I can't wait to share this with somebody else." That's a full bucket. Some of you are going to go home with a bucket half full. Half full. Good message. That was a good message. But I've heard this story so many times before. It was good. Just good. I believe there's another category of people. There's another one. They still came here with a bucket of expectation. Just like all of us. They came here with a bucket of expectation. They came here expecting to have an encounter with God. But I believe they're going to go home without the bucket. They're not going to take the bucket home. I believe they're going to go home not with a bucket. They're going to go home with a well. They're going to go home with a well. They don't want to be satisfied with just a bucket full. They're going to leave the bucket behind. They're going to go home with the well. If I want to sum this whole entire message, if I want to sum this whole entire encounter between Jesus and this Samaritan woman, Jesus was trying to get the woman to leave the bucket behind and go home with the well. So I hope this has painted a picture in your brain. This is engraved in your brain, because I believe you're going to go home today without the bucket. Without the bucket. Who needs the bucket when you can have the well? Who wants to be satisfied with just one bucket full when you can have the well for your entire life? I don't want to be coming back each and every time, although we must come each and every time. But I want to be filled from within, because I have a well that I can draw out from throughout my week. Who runs to church on Monday morning? Raise your hand. I want to see you. No one. Why? Because you don't need to if you have the well in you. If you have the well in you, every time you have a need, you draw from the well. When you need healing, you draw from the well. When you need a breakthrough, you draw from the well. When you're seeking a word of encouragement from God, you draw from the well. You don't need to call pastor. You don't need to call anybody. You call on the name that God has given to you, the name that is above all other names. The name of Jesus. You can only draw from the name of Jesus if you have the well. And guess what? This well, you did not have to go look for this well. This well came looking for you. This well, you did not have to dig, because Jesus himself is the well. In this story, Jesus identified himself as the well. That's why he challenged the woman, if only you knew of the type of water that you can draw from this well, you would not thirst again. Isn't that the purpose of being a Christian? So that you can have the well, not just for Sunday morning. You can have the well for your entire life. If I want to do a good job as a pastor, I want to point you to the well and not to anybody else. You need the well. well, I can draw anything to give out. This week I've drawn from the well. I pull everything that I can think of. I pull from the well that I can deliver this. This message is coming from the well. This message has the power to change your life. That's why the level of expectation that you have this morning matters. Your expectation matters. Otherwise, you can leave and go home with an empty bucket. That would be a shame. That would be a shame for all of us, or any one of us, to go home. So the well came looking for you. The well came looking for me. The Word of God says, while we were yet sinners, while we were still in the dark, while we had no idea what the well was, the well came looking. I'm paraphrasing this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, the well was already dug for you and me. The well did not wait for us to get our act together. The well did not wait for us to get cleaned up. The well was there while we were still sinners, while we were still an untouchable, while we were still an outcast. The well was there. And the well came looking for you and looking for me. The well was already there, but there are many barriers to the well. And throughout this encounter between Jesus and this Samaritan woman, Jesus was saying, it's time to remove those barriers to the well. Those barriers were there. Those barriers still exist. Although we are not Samaritans, we still have those separation between us and God, between culture and God, between political affiliation and God, between denominational affiliations and God. There's always separation between us and God. That's the very first thing that Jesus addressed in his encounter with the Samaritan woman. He said it's time to remove those barriers. The very first one that he identified were the social barrier, the political barrier, the religious barrier. That's a big one. It's a big one now. It's a big one in churches. It's a big one among believers. And Jesus is saying, it's time to remove those barriers. So Jesus needed to stop by Samaria. He needed to, because the Samaritan woman was there. He needed to. Just like Jesus needed to be at Newport, Wales, England for me. He needed to be there. Our paths crossed. He needed to be there. Jesus needed to be in Samaria. And Jesus initiated the conversation in those days, that's probably a no-no. You don't go in a public place. The well is a public place. The well is always in an open area where people will come and draw water. Jesus was there on purpose to have a conversation with this woman. Another no-no, even in that culture. And listen to the discussion that they had in verse 9. The woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." There's a cultural barrier right there. There is a religious barrier right there, because the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't believe the same thing. There was a separation culturally, and also religion was a big one. They did not believe the same thing. Big separation. But this conversation, so well planned by Jesus himself, he orchestrated pretty much the whole thing. It was a trap. It was a trap for her. Would you let go of your religious bucket? That was it. Would you let go of your religious bucket? Now Jesus went a roundabout way to say this. He was driving home this point, though. Would you not make an issue about who you are and how different you are from everyone else? Isn't that what we do sometimes, even within church? We are different. We're different. We don't believe the same thing. Sometimes within the church, our identity is very denominational. I'm Pentecostal. I'm Baptist. I'm charismatic. I'm Word of Faith. I'm this, I'm that. Whenever we bring all these things, you know what we leave out? The well. We leave out the well. And we focus on everything else that creates the separation versus focusing on the main thing. And the main thing is the well. The main thing is Jesus. The very first thing that Jesus was trying to drive home with this woman, this conversation, was, I can give you this well only if you let go of all the other barriers that you're saying. We are so different. Of course you are a Samaritan. Of course you believe these things. But can we come to a common ground where you can see God? Where you can see me as the well? Not very long ago, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I worked at Oral Roberts University. In a meeting with other department heads and everything else, we're talking about identity. What's the best way to describe Oral Roberts University? And the conversation around the table was like, well, Word of Faith, Pentecostal, and this and that and all the other stuff that creates a little pocket. I'm like, came to my turn to actually say something. And I remember looking up and I said, you know, I came to this university not because of an affiliation with a denomination or anything else like that. I came to this university because Jesus is the main focus of this university. That's the reason why I'm here. Is that good enough common ground? Is that good enough common ground for the church today? The well. Is the well still the place where we gather around to receive fresh water, week in, week out, day after day, in your living room, while you're driving down the road, while you're shopping? Is the well still the place where you draw from? I believe this is the main thing. That is where the focus needs to be. That's what we need to be talking about all the time in church. Are we talking about the well, or are we talking about something else besides the well? Let me tell you something. There is nothing worth talking about if it is not the well. If the whole entire focus is not Jesus, we're doing something in vain. If we are not focusing everything that we are doing as a church, as a family, around Jesus, we are laboring in vain. So Jesus is challenging the woman right now to let go of the religious differences and embrace this well. Barriers must be removed to reach that well. The second thing that Jesus removed was the past. The past. The past is a terrible thing to hold on to. It's good to know where we come from. That's not what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about the past, I'm talking about the past things that hold us back. The good old days. Do you know the good old days? Don't we not spend a lot of time talking about the good old days? Oh, this is the way that church worked back then. Oh, we were just gathering around and we will sing hymns and we kumbaya and everybody was so amazed and get along so well. Can we go back to the good old days? But when you stop and you really think about the good old days, you would probably come up to this conclusion. They were not that good after all. They were not that great. When God is doing a brand new thing, we got to be making room for the brand new thing, right? We cannot just talk about this in church, say, I want a new thing. But what if we don't make room for this new thing? The new thing will never happen if we keep on holding on to this past thing. Although it might have been so good and so amazing, but if we want the brand new thing that God wants to release in us, in our lives, in our family, in our church, we got to make room for the new. Sometimes you got to take the old out. Got to take out the old and make room for this brand new thing. So Jesus is challenging the woman now, said, would you let go of the past? Jesus came and talked to this outcast woman. This woman was mocked by her own. Now we're talking about Samaritans, right? They were the ones that did not believe the way that other people would believe. Even within their dysfunctionality, they had an outcast system. They were dysfunctional themselves, but yet again, within their own dysfunctionality, they had an outcast system. This woman was married for 5 times, and the 6th one was actually not the husband. Isn't that crazy? We Would you say that this woman had some issues? I mean, you know, I'm sure there was issues there. But did that stop Jesus from talking to her? Jesus, remember, planned this trip. He needed to go to Samaria. Knowing the issues, knowing the cultural differences, knowing the religious barriers, he needed to go there. How many times do we change path when we know there's going to be a sinner on the other hand, or we're going to cross path with somebody and say, you know what? I just don't want to do this. How many times do we do this? When God has created an opportunity for us to need to be at a certain place, need to be at a certain place. But because of the pressure around the encounter, we find an excuse not to go there. Believe me, we can come up with all kinds of excuses not to address our own dysfunctionalities. And believe me, we have many of those. We have many of those. But Jesus does not shy away from any one of those dysfunctionalities. It's like as if we pretend Jesus doesn't know. When Jesus was having this conversation, guess what? He already knew. That's why she was amazed when Jesus said, I know you'll be married 5 times. And the one that you're living with right now is actually not even your husband. And guess how she responded? I perceived that you must be a prophet. You must know something. Are you even greater than our father Abraham? Are you even greater than Jacob? Are you even greater than our ancestors? That got her attention. When God has called you to go on somebody's path, an untouchable's path, guess what's going to accompany you when you respond to that invitation from God? A word of knowledge. You're going to get to know something about this person's situation that you would not know otherwise. You would get a word that you will be able to minister to that person. Jesus here knew it all. He had all the wisdom. He knew exactly where and what that woman was doing. Jesus read a mail. And this encounter was just unveiling it. Let me tell you what I know about you, that you think others don't know. That broke a barrier there. That broke a barrier of her past. But Jesus did not shy away from it. Her validation was man. Her validation was in many other things. But the well. But God. She did not have an encounter with God. Where does our validation lie today? For you, for me. Is it friends? Is it a title? Is it a position? Is it social media? What is it that we value the most as an identity? Guess what? Whatever we value the most besides the well, is simply just a bucket. It might be empty. It might be half full. It might barely have anything in it. But guess what? If it is not the well, each and every time we're going to run on empty. Each and every time we're going to run on empty. we're going to start thinking that just barely what I have for today is just a drop. The good old days might just be a drop. Would you be satisfied with just a drop when you can have the entire well? How long would that drop last? Well, Pastor, you're just being, I don't want to be selfish. I just want to have just one drop. It's just for me. It's good. Well, that's a very, very selfish. You're thinking about just yourself. Just that one little measly drop. What about somebody else who might be on your path that needs this for? What if you come and you go home empty, half full, or just a little bit of water? That would be very, very selfish for you to do that. You want to go home leaving this behind and grabbing a hold of this well where you yourself may be drawing from day after day, and you can draw some for somebody else down the road. That is the purpose of us being Christians, so that we can have the well and we can also point somebody else to the well. Our job is to point people to the well. You go to the well. You draw your water from the well. That is the purpose of the church. That is why we are here. That's why we're here this morning. Jesus in this encounter, when you think about it, he was not condoning that woman's behavior. He wasn't saying, you know what, just keep going, you're good. He actually brought it up to light. Isn't that what God does when we've messed up? He doesn't just give us a pat on the back and say, you know what, nobody would know. Just fine. Just be quiet, you'll be good. Jesus will bring everything that we're dealing with to the light. His light exposes everything, not to shame you. No. A lot of times we think that God will actually shame us by bringing things to light. God brings things to light so that we can be free. Because there is freedom from that light that exposes darkness. God wants to bring it up to the light so that you and I, we can walk. The third thing that Jesus did was remove the barrier to the location. You know, in real estate, they say, location, location, location. That's the prime thing. But here, this is how Jesus addressed it. Jesus said in verse 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming where you will neither worship on this mountain, nor in Jerusalem." Nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. But we the Jews, we worship what we do know. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshiper will worship him in spirit and it's not on the mountain, and it's not in Jerusalem. The well is within you. The well is within you. That's how you worship. You worship because the well lives inside of you. It doesn't matter if you're in church or in your living room or in your workplace. You carry this well wherever you go. The bucket location where you're going to place this bucket. But the well, my friends have no borders. They have no walls. They have no conditions. The well is deep. But Jesus himself will draw out this living water within us when we approach him. So this morning as we close it, I want you to reflect on one thing. It's really a question that you yourself need to answer. Because this woman, this is what she did. In verse 28, this is what she did. It says, the woman then left. The woman then left her water pot. She left the water pot and went her way into the city. So the water pot, or the bucket that she came to the well to draw water out of, the word here in that story says that she left that behind. She didn't go home with a bucket. You know why? She took the well. She came to this one conclusion that I want you to come to this morning. She came with a bucket, but she left with a well. So the question for you this morning is,